So one of the saddest stories, episodes in the history of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, is the story of Chana v'Shiva Baneha, Chana and her seven sons, which we talk about Hanukkah. Actually, the story is a Gemara in Maseches Gittin, and it's also a Medrash. And we're going to see the story in the Medrash, in the Gemara, we'll see it in the Medrash. Then we'll analyze the legality of the story of Chana and her seven sons. Gemara says in Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda says, what it says in the Pasuk, Yalecha Hiragnu Kol Hayoyim, for you, Hashem, we have been slaughtered all the day. Shavnu Ketzen Tivcha, we're like sheep going to slaughter. Rabbi Yehuda said this refers to Zu Isha V'Shiva Baneha, a woman and her seven sons. It doesn't say her name. We call her Chana. Asihu L'kam L'kam E'dekat Kesar. They brought the woman and her seven sons to the Caesar. He said to them, he says to the first son, bow to idols. Amar Lahu, the oldest son, says, Kasav B'Torah, it says in the Torah, Anochi Hashem Aleikecha, I am Hashem your God, I can't violate them. Avku V'katlu, they took him out and they murdered him. Asihu L'idech, they brought son number two. They said to him, serve idols. It says the second of the Ten Commandments, don't serve idols. He refused to bow. They took him out and they murdered him. Psalm number three. They said, it says one who worships foreign idols deserves to be excommunicated. I can't do it. Avku v'katlu. They took him out. They murdered him. Next son, Asiu Lida Chamalei Plach Lavedes Gechavim. He says, "I can't cuss the Torah." Says Shtacha Bele Elacher. Says you're not allowed to bow to any other god. Avku v'katlu. They murdered him too. Asiu Lida. They brought the next one. Chamalei Plach Lavedes Gechavim. Amelu. He finally said what you think we would say. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Avku v'katlu. They took him out. And they murdered him. This is all in front of the mother. Asu Lidach, they brought the next son. Amalei Plach Lavedes Kechavim. Serve idols. He says, I can't cuss the Torah. Yadap Ayim Mashivoysel Vavecha. No, today. Bring a close to your heart. That was the sixth son of Kuva Katlu. Then they brought the little son, the seventh son. Amalei Plach Lavedes Kechavim. Bow to Alez Kam. Amalehu, this little kid says to them, it says, this Hashem and Marto, God chose you. You chose God and God chose you. We already swore to God that we'll never exchange him for any other God. He also swore to us that he won't exchange us with another nation. So I can't bow to you, he says to the Caesar. The Caesar, about to get defeated by a little kid, said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw my signet ring on the floor. Just bow down and pick it up. You don't have, no one will even know. You're just bowing down to pick up the ring. So these people will say he didn't disrespect the king. The little kid says to him, Chaval alecha Kesar. Waste of time, Caesar. Chaval alecha Kesar. Well, you know, what a waste of time, Caesar. You're concerned about your honor, and I should be concerned about the honor of Hashem. They took son number seven out to murder him. Amrelahu, he said, Imi. I mean, Amrelahu Imi, his mother said, Yavuni Ali, let me at least kiss my son to Inshike Porta. Give me my son for a moment. Let me kiss my son before you murder my final seventh son. Amrelahu, she says to her son, Beni, my son, when you get up to heaven, you go tell Avram, you bound one son on the altar. And I have seven altars. And more than that, Avram never killed Yitzchak. And all my seven kids are going to be killed at Kiddush Hashem. The Pasuk says, Afi also Lagag, she went up to the roof, Vinafla, she fell off of it, Umesa, and she died. Yitzchak Sabasko, voice came out from heaven that says, Aim Habanim Samecha, joyful mother of these children. That's the story brought down in the Gemara Maseches Gittin. In the Medrash in Eicha Rabba brings down the story with some more details. The Medrash writes like this. First of all, the Medrash says, the Chana says to her youngest son, Ata Nisayim, you were just a test. Ve'ani Masa, And I actually was not just a test. My kids were actually killed. While she was hugging him and kissing him, Gazar alav hargu'ala, they decreed and they killed the child in his mother's arms. Bekevon shenera, after he was killed, shi'aru chachamim shnoisav shal oisai tina. How old was the youngest son? The chachamim estimated, shtei shanim v'shisha chadashim. He was 2.5 years old. That's how old this little kid was. Anyways, it says when the world, people heard about this, the more nations of the world, Saku Kaluma Sa'ilam, the nations of the world cried out for Amru. They said, Ma'ale Kayam Shalelu Isalahem. Well, how could God let Shakach Narugin Allah Bechal Shah? The Jewish people, the Jewish blood is so cheap. Ma'aleim Ksiv Kiyalacha Kayragna Kalayim, and the Pasuk says in Tehillim that because of you, we've been killed all the days. Now, here the matter deviates and says, Achar Yamim. After a bunch of days later, Nishtatis, she lost her mind. She just couldn't bear the thought of having seen 7 of her children. Benaflum and Hagag Umesa. And she fell off of the roof and she died. So there's a very big difference in the Gemara and between the Medrash. The Gemara, the Medrash, it seems like she just lost her mind and threw herself off the roof. The way the Mephishtonim learned the Gemara in Gittin, she actually committed suicide. He threw herself off the roof and she committed suicide. And the big question on the story is, how was she allowed to commit suicide? Not to judge her, chas v'shalom. The person's in that situation, how could they live with themselves? But nevertheless, how could she commit suicide? That's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, because the story of, which is known as Chana, the Shiva Banea, is also attributed to a story that happened during the period of Hanukkah. So as we come into Hanukkah, usually the story comes up. I figured we'll have a little cheer on this. Now, we did have a shiur on this probably about 4 or 5 years ago, but it's fine because I forgot most of it, so I'm hopeful you did too. I'm not going to say that. But definitely there's new things that we did not do last time in the shiur. So the Rambam says, let's start taking the sugya apart. The Rambam, you know, I'll also add one or two more interesting things. Right? When I was in Israel, so they took us to Masada. Right? They take all the tourists to Masada. And Masada is considered a very big thing. What was the story in Masada? So it was a miracle. It was a stronghold that held out against an army thousands of times its size. And then eventually, when the Romans, I think it was the Romans, came, and they tried to, they were slowly but surely making their way into the fortress. So what they did was, they made a gyro, they made a lottery, and they killed one another. Until there was no one left, they killed each. When they came, there was just a bunch of dead bodies. The question is, you know, we go there, and everyone makes a big deal out of these heroes. But you're allowed to kill yourself? Where does it say you're allowed to kill yourself? So we'll talk about that in a moment. Interestingly enough, the story of Masada is not brought down in Chazal at all. And the only way we know the story of, the only place we find it documented is in the stories of a historian. I think his name was Yehuda ben Matisyahu. His name was, I don't remember his name exactly, Yehuda ben Yosef ben Matisyahu. He wrote a sefer, a book about that period of time, and he writes the story of Masada. Somehow it never made it into Svarim, into Poskim, into Responsa. So it's interesting that it's not brought in there. I'm assuming it's because maybe halachically was questionable. Or however we learn, question is, was it permitted to do what they did? So let's start at the Rambam. The Rambam is the one that brings out halacha lemaisa about what's permitted and what's prohibited when it comes to giving up one's life. So let's see the Rambam and Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah, Foundations of the Torah, in Perek 8, Chapter 5, the Rambam writes. Listen to how interesting the Rambam writes this halacha. I think it's mind-boggling. The Rambam writes, this is his introduction. Kol Beis Yisrael, entire Jewish home, Mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem Agadol, is obligated to sanctify God's holy name. Shenemar, as it says in the Torah, V'niktashti b'seich b'seich b'nei Yisrael. I shall be made holy amongst the Jews. We're also cautioned against disgracing God's name. As it says, V'leisechalu Hashem Katsu. Don't disgrace my name. So the Rambam's introduction sounds like he's going to talk about the laws of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name and not desecrating God's name. Ketzad, says the Rambam. So how does one fulfill that? If you have a non-Jewish person, stands up, and he pulls out a gun, and he tries to force a Jew, he puts a gun to a Jew's head on Yom Kippur, and he says, eat this BLT, that stands for bacon, lettuce, and tomato, or else I will kill you. Eat it or I'll kill you. Zok the Rambam, Yavar ve'al Yeharik. Rather, eat the BLT on Yom Kippur and don't be killed. Shenemar b'mitzvah asher yasa oisa ma'adam b'chai b'hem v'lo yishayamos ba. Torah says, you shall do the mitzvahs and live, live and not die. So what's the Kiddush Hashem that the Rambam is talking about over here? It seems that this Rambam is saying that the Kiddush Hashem is violating the Torah. Correct? Hashem says, live, live through the mitzvahs, and if you don't do that, says the Rambam, in mace, velo avar, if a guy says, I'd rather die than eat a BLT on Yom Kippur, a reason is chayev benafsho. In essence, he's chayev misa, he deserves to be put to death. Why? Because he's not supposed to. The Rambam holds when you're not obligated to give up your life, you're not allowed to give up your life. That's the opinion of the Rambam. And that's Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is eating that sandwich on Yom Kippur. They just said about Reb David Feinstein. I don't know if anyone heard this. Reb David Feinstein just passed away. This past Yom Kippur, he was very weak. He was very sick, and he had to eat on Yom Kippur. And publicly, he ate. And he ate with simcha. And they looked at him like, Zaidi, weren't you happy about eating Yom Kippur? He goes, no. The same Torah that tells me not to eat on Yom Kippur tells me this Yom Kippur I should eat. I'm happy to do the mitzvah of chaybahem, of living with them. Matter of fact, by the Levi, the funeral of Reb Yaakov Yussel, who also passed away 2 weeks ago, the Rishu of Edison, was the same thing. This past Yom Kippur, he was home, and he had to eat. He had some guests that were staying at his house for Yom Kippur, and he called the 13, 14-year-old boy, and he said, come, I want you to answer a main to a bracha you probably will never answer a main to. And what was that? Kiddush on Yom Kippur. So a person has to eat Yom Kippur, make Kiddush. And so the Masbi, the one that was eulogizing, said, he didn't hide it, go into the back room and ate it. He said, what do you mean? This is Shulchan Aruch. This is how we live. Kiddush Hashem. But however the Rambam says, b'medbar mamurim, for 610 out of the 613 mitzvahs, what violates the mitzvah rather than giving up their life? However, idol worship, idolatry, and adultery, those three things, if someone says violate these or I will kill you, it's rather a person should be killed rather than violate them. Huh? That's what the Rambam says. Now, the final statement in the Rambam is Kal hadvarim ha'elu shelo b'shas ha'gezeira. All these things that a person is not allowed to give up their life, or they're not obligated to give their life for anything besides these three, is only shelo b'shas ha'gezeira in normal times. Avo b'shas ha'gezeira. But at a time of religious persecution, what does that mean, says the Rambam? Sheyamod melech rosha k'nevuchadnetzar v'chadirav. There's an evil king, an evil ruler, like Nebuchadnetzar. The yigzer gzeira yisol levatel dasim. And he tries to banish our religion, or even mitzvahs min ha-mitzvahs, or tries to banish some of our mitzvahs. Harad v'al-yavar afil al-achas mishar mitzvahs. Then a person should give up their life and not violate this. Bein nanas betoch asara, bein nanas benon bein avicham. When it's public, whether it's private, one is allowed to give up their life or should give up their life if it's a shas hashma. Now, I'll just interject here and say that, you know, this is a very difficult Rambam to know how to properly understand. So how about the Holocaust? Was the Holocaust a shas ha-gezeira? I would say. This is one of the biggest fallacies. The Germans were not only fighting Jews. They were also fighting Judaism. They went after the Rabbanim first. They burned shuls. Right, Josh? You read a lot of Holocaust. Do you agree with me that there was a war against Judaism, not just against Jews? 100%.
It was a war against morality.
Correct. Well, morality comes from Judaism. When I took a group of people to the Holocaust Museum in Yerushalayim, what's it called again? Yad Vashem. One of the secular Jews remarked to me at the end, he says, Rabbi, where's the Judaism? I didn't see any Judaism. There's one small display about Rabbi Weissman, et cetera, et cetera. He says, this was a war against, seems from this that it was just a war against Jews. Was it also a war against Jews? And I said, it was interesting. Fascinating. This guy, like, he's not a religious Jew, but he felt that component was missing, which was fascinating. Now, this guy's a big reader, so he knows a lot about the Holocaust. But anyways, was the Holocaust called the Shas HaShmad? If a Nazi came over to you and said, eat this pork sandwich, were you obligated to give up your life rather than eat the pork sandwich? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I don't have an answer. If you were, then were they able to eat non-kosher to survive? They did. As a matter of fact, there's a famous Hinani Muchan and Bracha that was made up in Auschwitz by Sochashev Rebbe before they ate chametz to sustain them. They're being mekayim the mitzvah of a chaybahem. I don't have an answer to that question exactly what the Holocaust is considered, is not considered. Maybe it's for a different shiur. But anyways, regardless of what, these are the parameters of the Rambam. That in times of persecution, then a person certainly can and may even be obligated to give up their life. But in times of no religious persecution, only these three cardinal sins, everything else a person is not allowed to give up their life. I want to read you two tshuvas, two responsa. Both of them are written from Shalos Utshuvos Mimamaki. Responsa from the depth. And it's written by Rav Ashri, who printed a sefer after the Holocaust of shilas that he was asked during the Holocaust. Here are two shilas which are going to pertain to our shiur. The first one is in Simen Vav, Nechelek Aleph, in volume one, in the sixth Simen. He writes like this. He said, it's the sixth of Mar Cheshvan, the year Tavshin Beis. We're in Tavshin Pei Aleph right now. So it's 80 years ago. He says, Yomayim, it's just 2 days before the destruction, the awesome destruction of the Kovna Ghetto. He says, a time that in front of my eyes, tens of thousands of men, women, and children were all being taken out of the ghetto, and they're going to be killed. He says he's approached by one of the Jews in the ghetto, who understood what was going to happen. He'd been around the Nazis long enough to realize the cruelty that was going to happen over here. And he came to me, says Rav Ashri, and he says, by the way, this was one of the very well-respected, prestigious people in the community. He said he was crying, tears were streaming down his face, and he said to me, Rebbe, I need a question. I cannot see. I can't bear to see what's going to happen to my wife, to my sons, to my daughters, to my grandchildren, my grandsons and granddaughters. He says, the way the Nazis have been doing things is they take the patriarch of the family and they slaughter every single family member in front of his eyes. And then cruelly they kill him. He says, Rebbe, I know this is going to happen. I've heard it. I know it's going to happen. He says, I'm the patriarch. They're going to kill everyone in my whole family. And then eventually they're going to kill me. He says, is it mutter for me to kill myself, to take my own life before they're able to kill me? More than that, he says, Rebbe, if they kill me, they're not just going to shoot me. They're going to beat me to death or something like that, and there'll be terrible pain and suffering. Am I allowed to kill myself? That's the question that this fellow asked Rav Ashri. Shaila number one. Shaila number two, a fellow approaches Rav Ashri after the war, and he says that he wanted to be a chazan. He wanted to be the Shliach Tzibur in the minyan, whatever minyan, maybe in the DP camp. And they said, you can't be the Shliach Tzibur. You can't lead the davening if you killed someone. So Rav Ashri says to him, did you kill someone? He goes, I did kill someone. He says, why did you kill someone? He says, I'll tell you the circumstances. And he says that one day a long line of forced laborers were marched into the ghetto, and they were swollen from hunger. It was freezing winter, and they had just a thin pajama on, and it was a death march for them. And I was on the death march, he writes. There was a man standing next to me who just didn't have kayach, and he just wanted the end. He wanted out. And he said to me, push me down to the ground with all your might. I guarantee you I'll die. I can't anymore. Every pain that I take, step that I take is so excruciating. Please kill me. He begged with me and he pleaded with me. So I pushed him to the ground once, pushed him to the ground, set two times, and a few minutes later he collapsed and he died. I killed him. Rebbe, he said, am I allowed to daven for the Yemen if I'm a murderer? That was his question. Or he said, Rebbe, is there a special tshuva I have to do? And if there is a tshuva, will Hashem accept me? This is a question that he asked for. So if you notice, we have two different situations here. Number one, we have a situation where a fellow wants to kill himself. The second question is somebody who killed somebody else. That was to put him out of his misery. Those are the two questions from the Holocaust. Actually, unpackages the larger child that we'll be discussing. Which is, the pasuk teaches us that it's prohibited for a person to commit suicide, for a person to take his life. That's what they say about suicide. It's the only crime that if you commit it, you're not punished, but if you just attempt to commit it, they punish you. So what is the Torah saying? The Torah says two things. First of all, it says, "Ach es dimchem lenafshei seichem edrish." However, says Hashem, "Dimchem your blood lenafshei seichem for your soul edrish. I will seek it out." And the Gemara learns from there even though the Gemara says that it's referring, what does it mean? Hagat will seek out your blood from your soul. We're talking about a person who takes his life. It's additionally, also the pasuk says, Shayfech dam ha'adam ba'adam dam ha'yichafech. One who spills the blood of man, in man, his blood shall be spilled. Which others learn as well means somebody who takes his own life. So that's the pasuk. It's in Parshas Noach. And from there we derive that suicide is prohibited. The Daz Zekeinim Mibali HaTosfos, which is Tosfos' commentary on the Torah, the Daz Zekeinim Mibali HaTosfos brings two opinions, two dissenting opinions, based on a Medrash. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabba, in this pasuk, Achas Dimchem, we derive that you're not allowed to commit suicide. Ask the Medrash, how about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they threw themselves into a Kivshan HaEsh, into a pit of fire. Was that permitted? Says the Gemara, even though it's not permitted, for one, to commit suicide, however, if they're doing it, Al Kiddush Hashem, so that they cannot be killed, or they're scared that maybe they won't be able to withstand the next challenges that are being going to be put in front of them. They knew maybe they'd be forced to do Avodah Zarah, and they weren't sure if they'd have the inner strength. It's permitted to kill oneself. Now, Malomar Ach, the Pasuk says, Ach, Estim Kamanach Shasechem, Ach is always in mute, Ach always excludes. What does it exclude? It excludes a situation like Hanani Mishal Vazariah, or the story of Shaul ben Kish. What's the story of Shaul ben Kish, King Shaul? King Shaul is in a war against the Plishtim, and Shaul is about to be captured. So he tells his sword boy, he says to him, take your sword out and kill me, so that I won't be taken captive by the Plishtim. The young boy didn't want to kill him. He was scared to kill the Melech Yisrael. So Shaul took his own sword, he fell on his sword, and he died. Says the Daz Kenei Baal HaTosfos, how was he allowed to do that? The Melech Yisrael committed suicide. So he says, no, he was scared, Shema Yasu Lo Yisurim Kashim, that they would terribly, terribly hurt him. They would torture him. Or they would force him to do things that, like Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it's permitted for him to kill himself. So writes the Daz Kenei Baal HaTosfos. I don't know how many of you know this, but there's a story in the Navi where one of the Malchi Yehuda was captured, I think. How did they torture him when they brought him to Bavel? They put him in a large pot, right, Josh?
But didn't they? Didn't Chizkiel get blinded? Didn't Nebuchadnezzar blind Chizkiel?
Yeah. But there was another Melech, I forget his name, where they tried to boil him alive. He had served every Avodah Zarah. I forget who it was. He served every Avodah Zarah, and he called up every single Avodah Zarah to help him, and no one did. And then he said, God, I have no choice. You're my last resort. I don't believe in you, but I'm calling out to you. If you exist, save me. And they saved him. They put him in a jail for the rest of his life, but they didn't boil him alive. Anyway, that's one of the stories in the Navi. So bottom line is, says the Daz Zekeinim, came back to what we're saying. He says, we see from this, extrapolates even further from this, and not only are you allowed to kill yourself to stop yourself from violating Averis, you're even allowed to kill children. So if you have a young child, a bunch of young children, the enemy is coming, they're going to kidnap them and raise them for Avodah Zarah, says the Daz Zekeinim, Bali HaTosfos, that you're allowed to shoychet a satinik b'shasa gezeira. You could kill a little child during times of religious persecution to prevent him from falling captive to the enemy. However, he brings a dissenting opinion. Yesha ishri, there are those that prohibit it. And they learn differently. That I would think maybe you're allowed to kill yourself or even kill others, says the pasuk. Ach, but no, it's never permitted. In no situation is it permitted. I asked Shaul ben Kish, how could he do this? He wasn't allowed to do it, but he did it anyways. So says the second opinion. And he brings here a frightening story. The story, I'm assuming, took place in the times of the Crusaders, because that's when the Bali HaTosfos lived. And he says, Ma'ase Barav Echa, there was a story with one Rav, Sheshachad Harbe Tinoikis B'Chasat Shema. The Crusaders were coming, and he killed many of the little children, so they shouldn't be taken captive. By a Rav Echadima, there was another Rav here, who was furious at him and said, you're a murderer. How could you kill these children? He said, what do you mean? I'm killing them to save them from being taken and raised Christians. The dissenting Rav, the Rav that was upset, said to him, if what I am saying is true, that you are a murderer, you should die a horrible death. When the Crusaders came, they took the rabbi, they flayed him, they took off his skin, and they put sand in his flesh and his skin. I don't even know how you do such a thing. Terrible Yitzur. And then after that, they left the community and they didn't kill anyone and didn't take anyone. And they realized that there was no reason these children should have been murdered, have been saved. That's what the Bali Hatosos brings down. So he brings two different opinions in the Daskani Bali Hatosos. And actually, these two opinions are also brought down in the Beis Yosef. In the Tour, he brings these two opinions as well. One opinion says you could kill yourself in a time of Shemad, stop yourself. More than that, you could even kill children. And the other opinion says, no, you can't do that. So let's learn a little bit about why or why not it may be permitted or prohibited. Before we do that, I want to share one Gemara. Very famous Gemara, because we say about this Gemara on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. This is the Gemara in Meseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says in Meseches Avodah Zarah that Rav Hananya ben Tradyo was taken by the Romans to be killed. What did they do to him? They took Rav Hananya ben Tradyo because he taught Torah publicly, and they caught him while he was holding a Sefer Torah. They took the Sefer Torah, they wrapped him in the Sefer Torah. They surrounded him with piles of wood. And they brought woolen sponges that they made wet. And they put them, they soaked them in water, and they put them on his heart. So that even though he gets burnt, his heart shouldn't be burnt, and he should have to endure the suffering. When his daughter saw him, his daughter was there seeing her own father being burnt alive. She says, how can I ever see you in this situation? So he responds and he says, if I was dying alone, it would bother me. But I'm dying alongside a Sefer Torah. Hashem is going to seek out his honor from these people for burning a Sefer Torah. And hopefully he'll also exact revenge on my bed. When his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, what do you see as he's being burned? And he said the famous words, Tevilin nisrafin of Isias parchas. I see the parchment burning and the letters ascending to heaven. So his daughter cried out, his students cried out and said, Psach picha, open your mouth. V'tikanei sa'esh, so that the fire should go into your mouth. If it goes into your mouth, you'll die quicker, you'll have less pain. He said, no. I can't kill myself. I don't care. I can't kill myself. I'm not going to die until I die. At the same time, though, the Kalatz Tuniri, which means the executioner, turned to him and said to him, Rebbe, if I make the fire stronger, so you'll die quicker, and I remove the woolen sponges from your chest, will you promise me a portion in Olam Haba? So Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyo said yes. He swore that he would. Immediately, the executioner took away the shalheves. I'm sorry, increased the shalheves. He increased the flame. He took away the sponges, and Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyo was quickly nifter. He passed away quickly. Then the executioner jumped into the fire as well. Abasco came out and said, Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyo and the Kalatz and Turi and the executioner, Muzmanim L'chayim Haba. They're both destined for Gan Eden in the world to come. Bacha Rebbe cried, V'yomer yesh koin olamai b'shoa achas. Once some people could acquire a portion of Haba in 1 minute. Yesh koin olamai b'kama shana. And some people, it takes a lifetime to get a portion of Haba. There's three conflicting things in the story. Number one, Rav Hananya ben Tradyo refuses to open his mouth to kill himself quicker, even though he's being killed. Then he does permit the executioner to add wood to the fire and to remove the sponges from his heart so he should die quicker. That seems as permitted. And then the executioner commits suicide. And still a Baskal comes out from Tumayim and says that he's Muzman L'chai Olam Haba, that he's destined for a portion of the world to come. If he killed himself, why is he destined for a portion of the world to come? Difficult Gemara. So one of the ways to understand this, so Tysus right away, this bothers Tysus right away. And Tysus says, how could first of all, Rav Hananya ben Tradyo say, I don't want to even open my mouth and hasten my death, but there's another very sad Gemara. I feel like we should have given this year during the 3 weeks or the 9 days, no? But it's Hanukkah time that we speak about it. There's another very sad Gemara, famous Gemara. There's a kinnis about it on Tisha B'Av, the story of the boatloads of children. Gemara says, in Maseches Gittin, on Daf Nun and based on the same Gemara, the Gemara says like this, Maisa, there was a story, 400 boys and girls that were taken captive, and they were taking them to Rome. They were going to rape the girls and use the boys as sex slaves as well. They realized this. They knew what was going to happen. They said to the oldest boy amongst them, If we throw ourselves into the sea, are we going to get Cha'olam Haba? So the oldest one says yes. It says in the pasuk, Hashem Yibashan Ashiv, Mimtzu L'Siyam Yibashan Ashiv, Mibein Shini Ari Ashiv, Mimtzu L'Siyam. So they said, yes, you will. Hashem will gather you from the depths of the sea and bring you to Olam Haba. So the girls heard this, and immediately the girls jumped in. They killed themselves to be spared from being taken to sin. The boys made a kavachim, and they said, the girls, who at least, if they're going to be raped, at least it's the natural way. They jumped into the water. Us, that we're going to be used for homosexuality, which is not natural. How much more so should we kill ourselves? And they killed us. They killed themselves as well. Allah praises them. This is what the Navi means when it says, well, we've been giving up our lives for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ask Taisus in Maseches Avodah Zarah that there's a contradiction between these two Gemaras. But Chanan ben Trajan refuses even to open his mouth while he's being killed. Yet, we praise these children for committing suicide. That's Taisus' Kasha in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Taisus says the following. Taisus says, second right here, he answers that there's a pivotal difference, and this is a very telling Tosfos. Tosfos says, "I'm Rabbeinu Tam. Deheichah sheyireim pen yaviru if they gacham la'avera. In a situation where one is scared that they'll be forced to commit sins, either they'll torture you until you do them, or you know you don't have the inner strength to withstand it. Then was he mitzvah lechaba ba'atim. It's a mitzvah to commit suicide." He brings the story in Gittin. Look at these special children that they committed suicide. So Tosfos is mechalik. Tosfos differentiates. What a person is killing themselves that they shouldn't be tortured. What a person is killing themselves that they shouldn't be over an aveira. That's a mitzvah. But when somebody is not being forced to do an aveira, I guess he doesn't consider the case of Hanan ibn Trajan like being tortured. I'm not sure why. Maybe the torture Tosfos means torture to commit aveira. I think that's what Tosfos means. But Tosfos says, when it comes to an Aveira, if you're not sure you'll be able to understand an Aveira, killing yourself is a mitzvah. So says Tosfos. So we have from this Tosfos that it's permitted to kill oneself. And Tosfos paskins, it seems like the other opinion of Taskeni and Dalia Tosfos, and Ritva as well, that it's permitted for a person to kill themselves if they think they're going to be taken for Aveira. They know they're going to be taken for Aveira and not be able to withstand it. They'll be tortured, whatever it is. They don't have enough inner fortitude to withstand it. They're allowed to commit suicide, they can take a sign, I pill, and they can kill themselves. That's how Tosfos learns, that's how the Ritva learns. The Marshal, Yamshel Shlomo, brings the Rush that disagrees and says that it's prohibited for a person to commit suicide in any situation. And if they do, maybe they're not, you know, they're not held accountable for it, but it's prohibited to do that. So what's the here? And then finally, the thing that needs clarification really is, how about killing someone else? Could you kill someone else? Someone turns to you and says, kill me so I shouldn't be taken for Averis. Could you kill that person? So these are the questions that need clarification. So to understand this, I'd like to share a Minchas Chinuch. We haven't learned Minchas Chinuch in 7 or 8 months, so I want to share a Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch discusses suicide. And Minchas Chinuch says like this, Hame'aved atzmo ladas, a person who commits suicide, let's just clarify, he didn't commit suicide because he was suffering from depression, you know, anxiety, a mental illness. He didn't commit it because of that. We know not. Sadly, I know of a case of someone that committed suicide because of that. Maybe that would be the parameter. Even then, I don't know. Maybe they were depressed. So. But the Rambam writes explicitly that if a person takes their life because of other types of illnesses, then that's not called murder. It's not called suicide. But anyways, the Rambam does write that a person who's me'aved atzmo ladas, somebody that kills himself intentionally, says the Rambam, Einu b'chalal lo tzirtzach. I'm sorry, says the Minchas Chinuch, the idiot for the Rambam, that's not murder. Killing oneself is not murder. It's a separate iser. What's the iser? Ach es timchem l'nafshel seichem edrosh. It's the iser of the Torah in Parshas Noah that says God will seek out one who commits suicide because misa b'dei shamayim, death in the hands of heaven. Now you may say to yourself, what's the difference? Call him a murderer. Don't call him a murderer. The guy's dead. Well, obviously, maybe the level of retribution in Shamayim. But actually, the Minchas Chinuch writes that there's a very practical application in this world. If a fellow takes somebody else's expensive sword and he kills himself with that sword, the sword breaks while he's killing himself. We take from the estate to pay for the sword. Because usually we have a rule called Kam Le B'Rabbi, which pleased to say that if a person is in the middle of an action, the punishment for that action is death, then he's not liable for any monetary damages. So for example, if someone stabs someone, and the guy's wearing an Armani suit, and the knife goes through the Armani suit, and it ruins it. In that case, he doesn't pay for the Armani suit, because since he's chayev misa, since he's chayev to be put with death, he's liable for death, so he only gets the stricter of the two punishments. Says in Chas Chinuch, it'll come out like this. If you say committing suicide is ritzicha, it's murder, so of himself, if he uses someone else's sword and he breaks that sword while he's murdering someone, which is himself, he's not going to be liable. Just like if you murder someone else. But if you say it's not murder, it's just a separatist, you're called achas dimchodash, it's misa b'dei shamayim. By misa b'dei shamayim, when a person commits a crime that wants to put the death in the hands of Hashem, they're liable for any material damage, monetary damage. So one will be liable for monetary damage. So Chaz says in the Chaz Chinuch. We'll explain the commentaries that this is the machlokas between the two opinions. One opinion holds that when a person takes their own life, the prohibition is not ritzicha, it's not murder. It's called chavala. What's chavala? Damaging, wounding. You're wounding, it's not ritzicha. Ritzicha is only when one kills somebody else, that's murder. When one kills themselves, that's called chavala. Chavala means damaging or wounding oneself. Hurting oneself. Damaging is the word I want to use. Damaging oneself. So the mail comes out like this. When the person just kills themselves for no reason, that's damaging themselves, and they're liable on achas dimchal and after seichem, God says, I will seek him out and I'll take care of him in olam. But when a person takes his life for a productive reason, they're scared they won't be able to withstand violating one of the cardinal sins. Maybe because the torture they're going to be subjected to is just so beyond anything anyone can handle that they're going to succumb. In that situation, that's not chavala, that's not damage, that's tikkun. That's positive, a positive type of damage. It's like getting surgery. Why is it always for getting surgery, chavala? On the contrary, it's not mazik, it's not damaging, it's fixing, it's repairing. So Mamela, the opinion that holds that one is permitted to take their life, one is permitted to take their life so they don't violate it, they don't do isser. That opinion holds that it's not ritzicha, it's not murder. If it's not murder, you could say it's permissible in a situation where one is doing it to save themselves from an avera, if one is doing it maybe to save themselves from torture, etc., etc. Or maybe even one more thing which we didn't talk about, but it's in the Shmos Yaakov, where the Gemara, the Medrash brings a story of a fellow who lived his whole life in sin, and then he came to the realization of what a terrible, wicked person he was. So he devised a contraption that killed him using all four types of misas pesed: decapitation, stoning, death by molten lead, and strangulation. The guy, he was a genius at devising, torture apparatuses. And he kills himself all four. Says the poskim that maybe even in that case, it's not considered murder to kill himself because he's doing it for tikkun. He's doing it for tshuva. Right, wrong, maybe. That's not such a great example. However, the other opinion that says that it's prohibited to commit suicide, it doesn't make a difference. That opinion holds that killing oneself is not just wounding, it's murder. And there's no way to justify murder. There's no way to justify murder. I don't care if it's for the greater good. We don't murder people. And therefore, it's prohibited for a person to take his life. Not according to this, that is only when one is taking their own life. Even if you hold like the opinion that you could take your life rather than violating a man, even if you could hold you could take your life rather than be subjected to torture, but that's just one's own life. That's not considered a tzicha. But killing someone else, stop them from doing an avera, that's ritzicha, that's murder. It could be that it seems for most of the poskim, I mean, we saw that that's came about to us, it's not like that, but many of the poskim that doing that perhaps will be prohibited. So going back to the cases of Rav Ashri, could a person take his life rather than see his family be killed and then be tortured? Maybe yes, maybe no. But killing someone else to put them out of their misery, that's ritzicha, it would seem that that's prohibited. Regardless of what, by Chana, just getting back to where we started, there's a difference between the Medrash and the Gemara. The Medrash says the woman lost her mind and she killed herself. So according to that, of course she's not liable. According to the other opinion that she killed herself just because she couldn't live with it anymore, I don't know. She goes down in the Chronicles of History as being a righteous woman, but you have to wonder how she was able to kill herself in this situation, unless you say she was mentally deranged, but it doesn't seem like that way from the Gemara. Regardless of what the Rabban Shalom should take all the tears and the blood of Klal Yisrael through all the generations, and he should do them like a beautiful holy carbon, a sacrifice, and Klal Yisrael shouldn't have to chas v'shalom ever again shed another tear, shed another drop of blood, as the pasuk says, "Harninu goyim amay, dam avadav hikom." The pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, Hashem will avenge the blood of Klal Yisrael, v'nakav yashiv litzarav, he'll demand exact retribution from our enemies, v'chi perat maso amo, and Hashem will atone with that for his nation and his people. Okay, anyone have any questions?
During the Crusades, there were many suicides during the Crusades.
Whole communities killed themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, because they didn't want to be forced with converting. Many communities killed their children too. We have a kid about this. And it doesn't seem like we have an issue with it. They obviously held like that opinion of the Baliatosis. You know, there is such an opinion out there, right? Beis Yosef brings it down. Beis Yosef brings, I don't know, like it says over there that, you know, husbands killed their wives and then killed their children and then they killed themselves, right? That's what it says in the Keen on Tisha B'Av. Yeah, not simple story. And then obviously we can never judge anyone in these situations. Stories. There's a time when this geprif werden, like we say in Yiddish. Hashem should never try us to see how intense our commitment is to Yiddish guy, what we're willing to do or not. We should never have. We should live our lives on Kiddush Hashem, good times, and not have to give up our lives on Kiddush Hashem.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you so much, everyone. Have a beautiful evening.
My pleasure. Thank you. Yishkoyach.